Reading for the Bible 365 devotional, November 27th. Heavenly Father, give us your word and give us a heart to listen to your word. Instruct us in the way we should go and the desires of our hearts. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, be with us right here as we go forward reading and enjoying your word. Amen. Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how powerful his wonders. His kingdom will last forever, his rule throughout all generations. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. But one night I had a dream that frightened me. I saw a vision that terrified me as I lay in my bed. So I issued an order calling all the wise men of Babylon so they could tell me what my dream meant. When all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers came in, I told them the dream, but they could not tell me what it meant. At last, Daniel came in before me, and I told him the dream. He was named Belteshazzar after my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said to him, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too great for you to solve. Now tell me what my dream meant. While I was lying in my bed, this is what I dreamt. I saw a large tree in the middle of the earth. The tree grew very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves, and it was loaded with fruits for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade, and birds nested in its branch. All the world was fed from this tree. Then, as I lay there dreaming, I saw a messenger, a holy one coming down from the heaven. The messenger shouted, cut down the tree and loop off its branches, shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Chase the wild animals from its shade and the birds from its branches, but leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Now let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the wild animals among the plants of the field. For 7 periods of time, let him have the mind of a wild animal instead of the mind of a human. For this has been decreed by the messengers. It is commanded by the holy ones, so that everyone may know that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world. He gives them to anyone he chooses, even to the lowliest of people. Belteshazzar, that was the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now tell me what it means, for none of the wise men of my kingdom can do so. But you can tell me, because the spirit of the holy God is in you. Upon hearing this, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, was overcome for a time, frightened by the meaning of the dream. Then the king said to him, Belteshazzar, don't be alarmed by the dream or what it means. Belteshazzar replied, I wish the events foreshadowed in this dream would happen to your enemies, my lord, and not to you. The tree you saw was growing very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves and was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade and birds nested in its branches. That tree, your majesty, is you. For you have grown strong and great. Your greatness reaches up to the heavens, and you rule to the ends of the earth. Then you saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from the heavens and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals of the fields for 7 periods of time. This is what the dream means, Your Majesty, and what the Most High has declared will happen to my Lord the King. You will be driven from human society, and you will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. But the stump and roots of the tree were left in the ground. This means you will receive your kingdom back again when you have learned that heaven's rules. King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. As he looked out across the city, he said, "Look at this great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor." While these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses." That same hour, the judgment was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird claws and his nails. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned, and I praise and worship the Most High and honor the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting, and his kingdom is eternal. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, "What do you mean by doing these things?" When my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored as head of my kingdom with even greater honor than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of Heaven. All acts are just and true, and he is able to humble the proud. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow. What a story, huh? What a story. Nebuchadnezzar's dream was interpreted by Daniel through the wisdom given by God's Spirit. The king's tragic breakdown will soon take place unless he makes some drastic changes in his life. Similarly, we may be heading for a humbling experience if we continue to think we are in control of our lives. Recovery is dependent on trusting God and obedience to his will for us. Or sanity can be dependent on our trust in God. You know, in grandiose thinking and dreaming, we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. That's step 2 in the 12-step program. When we are caught up in our behavior and we know it's not right and we can't stop, it's common for us to deny the truth about our situation with grandiose thinking. We may believe that we're above it all, a God unto ourselves, accountable to no one. In his day, Nebuchadnezzar, king of ancient Babylon, was the most powerful ruler on earth. He believed he was a God and demanded to be worshipped. Through Daniel, God said to him, This is what the Most High has declared will happen to you. You will be driven from human society and you will live in the fields with the wild animals until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. This happened just as Daniel had predicted at the end of the king's time exile. He said, I looked up to heaven and my sanity returned after the 7 years. And he said, I praise and worship the Most High and honor the one who lives forever. When my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom with even greater honor than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All his acts are just and true, and he is able to humble the proud. We are not God. We are accountable to God, our higher power. The higher power can remedy our madness and restore our lives to even better than they were before our season of insanity. God will do it so if we entrust our life to him. We thank God just the way we are, and we give him all the pieces, and he will restore us to sanity. You know, it was a pretty cool warning that Daniel told him. He says, stop your sinning and give to the poor. Maybe in this, the Lord will change you. And it's amazing how Daniel got alarmed at the prophecy, at the dream, you know, and that was amazing. Daniel said, please accept my advice. Stop sinning. So this is my advice. If you're sinning, do what is right. Do what you have to do what is right. Break from your wicked past or lifestyle and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper or continue to receive mercy from God. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God who gives us all things to pertain to life and godliness. Amen. And now we move over to the reading of 2 Peter chapter 1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious fate we have. This fate was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable us, you, to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop this way are short-sighted, blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it's only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live, For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dear, lovely Son, who brings me great joy." We ourselves heard the voice from heaven, and we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy of Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit as they spoke from God. Amen. Peter, today's reading and study says that Peter wanted to rouse complacent believers who had listened to false teachers who were saying that since salvation is not based on good deeds, they could live any way they wanted. If you truly belong to the Lord, Peter wrote, your hard work will prove it. Faith must be more than belief in certain facts. It must result in actions, growth in Christian character, and the practice of moral discipline, or it will die away. Peter lists several of faith's actions: learning to know God better, developing perseverance, doing God's will, and loving others. These actions do not come automatically. They require hard work and are a continual part of the Christian life. We don't finish one and start on the next, but we work on them all at the same time. God works in us, but he also gives us the responsibility to learn and to grow. If your faith is not producing the qualities listed in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, ask yourself why not. Your hard work won't save you, but working hard will demand that you trust God to be faithful. It is this faith that pleases God. Amen. And now let's go ahead and read more about Peter. Chapter 1. Alrighty, Peter chapter 1. Let's see what it says on the Recovery Bible. It says, life is rough. We must constantly struggle against the sin inherent in our mortal bodies. We live with the realities of pain, sickness, and death. We live in a world that is constantly decaying. Even if we turn our lives over to God, what is there to look forward to? Peter tells us, now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you may endure many trials for a little while. Paul offers this encouragement. Since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Romans 8, 17 and 19. These promises are for us. The refiner would heat the gold in the fire in order to separate the worthless and the impurities. Amen. All right, here you go. Peter chapter 1. It says, Peter greeted his readers in this chapter by reminding them of the gift of forgiveness and a new life they have received through faith in Jesus Christ. It is the gift because no one can claim to be worthy of the salvation that God offers through Christ. Truly, God is good. Experiencing God's kindness and peace depends on knowing Him. Sometimes we expect peace to come before we make healthy choices. But Peter reminds us that the grace and peace come when we concentrate on getting to know God. At any moment, we can take concrete steps to improve our conscious contact with God through prayer and meditation in His Word. One of the most comforting byproducts of faith is the simple awareness that we possess everything we need to live a full and meaningful life. How do we experience this provision? By participating in God's nature through faith and by growing through practice into all that He has designed us to be. The past is part of who we are. The future is securely in God's hands. And today is filled with opportunities to grow in our understanding of love, forgiveness, truth, grace, justice. Parents provide for their children's needs and love, so God supplies all that we need and love, including the ability to rise above our circumstances and temptations. Here we are reminded of the consequences of rejecting God's program and leading others away from the truth. Perhaps this describes the way we were before entering recovery. Thankfully, God has provided us with the help we need to start again and rebuild our lives according to His will. The consequences of the self-centered pursuit of pleasures and power are terrible, both to us and the people around us. It is good for us to be reminded that every so often of the sudden destruction we are being rescued from. Amen. And one of the ways to hook up with God again and again is to thank Him for where we're at and getting away from the circumstance and letting God come in and flood the circumstance and change us and make us into His image. By thanking Him for His word, thanking Him for what's going around us, and becoming His true children. Praying for our enemies, blessing them, and asking God to bless us by His power, by His strength. The Lord God will bless us according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And He continued this so. Now the reading of Psalms. We consider how God's word can guide us in our choices today. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father God, how Your word guides us in our choices today, Lord God. Help us to do the right thing in Jesus' name. Psalms 119, verses 97 to 112. Oh, how I love You, the Lord's instructions. I think about them all the day long. Your commands make me wiser. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. Amen. For they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of Your laws. I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept Your commandments. I have refused to walk in any evil path so that I may remain obedient to Your word. I haven't turned away from Your regulations, for You have taught me well. How sweet Your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I promise it once, and I'll promise it again. I will obey Your righteous regulations. I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as You promised. Lord, accept my offering of praise and teach me Your regulations. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying Your instructions. The wicked have set their trap for me, but I will not turn from Your commandments. Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delights. I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end. Amen. Proverbs 28, 17 and 18, the book of Proverbs. A murderer's tormented conscience will drive him into the grave. Don't protect him. The blameless will be rescued from harm, but the crooked will be suddenly destroyed. The blameless will be rescued from harm. There's the promise. But the crooked will suddenly be destroyed. It's one of the reasons we want to stop our sinning. Don't take it to the limit. Thank God for where you're at. Thank you, everyone, for coming to this reading. I pray that you will be blessed out of these readings. May God bless you and keep you and sanctify you and make you holy by His word in Jesus' name. Amen. Give them heaven. Oh. Yeah. My goodness. Hey Siri, Monday night football, who's playing?
Been some interceptions like this. I'm not real sure what Pittman's doing working. Now, that's a heck of a play by Pierre, but Pittman has to stay on the move. I mean, they're in man coverage, and he stops, and he tries looking back. You've got a receiver out there to the outside, and just a real mess for Indianapolis, and you can see the frustration that Matt Ryan is expressing for the same reason. And the Colts, their third opening drive turnover for James Pierre, his first interception of the year. Play action from Pickett, and he throws underneath. Pass is caught and out of bounds is Cody White, who's just up from the practice squad, a gain of just two. You got Pittman, he's in the slot, he's in the middle, and all of a sudden he stops, and he works back out. Pierre, who's covering the outside receiver, he comes off of his man, and is the reason that it gets picked off. And there's a reason why Indianapolis has had some of the issues that they've had offensively in being able to consistently put plays together, but that was not good at all.
Here's Najee Harris on second down and 8, trying the left side and getting 3. Made a stop on the first third down on a 3rd and 2. This time it's 3rd down and 5. On the move, he's got a first down, and he dives forward near the 25. Went through the reads, took off, got 9. Because Bradley's defenses, they like to play zone coverage. And you see these safeties back here, and they generally, even though they're showing linebackers up, they usually rush a 4-man rush. And so now you've got 7 guys in coverage, and we've seen now a couple of times here in the early going where Pickett has had some problems finding a guy. That time he's able to find a running lane, picks it up. And Pickett, 5 for 6 for 37 yards, 2 carries, 17. He's in trouble here and sacked back at the 29-yard line. And a loss of 5 as Ngakoue is up to 7.5 in his first year with the Colts. He does a really nice job. Here's on the left of the screen, and Dan Moore, the left tackle, he pushes him back. And as soon as he feels that Pickett's stepping up in the pocket, he's able to come off it and then make the sack. He is really, as you said, Joe, he's had a fine season getting after the quarterback.
2nd and 15, they hand it on to Harris, and he's brought down by Stephon Gilmore. Good tackle by the 11-year pro from South Carolina.
Well, you're not kidding. I mean, you're talking about a guy that can cover like Gilmore to be able to come off of his guy and step up right here in the hole and take on Najee Harris. That's about as good as it gets.
Brings up 3rd down and 12. Gets another.
absolutely untouched coming off the edge. That brings up fourth down. Yeah, you'd think the guy who leads the team in sacks that they'd put somebody on him, and he's got his hand in the ground, but just totally miscommunicated across the offensive line. The center's working one way, right guard's working opposite, and just completely miscommunicated it out to the left side of that offensive line and frees up Ngakoue for the easiest sack he'll ever have. And because it was a loss of 12, the Steelers are out of field goal range, and they have to punt it with Harvin. About that defensive stand. Good effort. Oh, man. But Cody White could not keep it out of the end zone. So, in essence, the Colts survive the interception by Ryan. Back to try it again. Down three.
If only FanDuel could set the odds. Mark on when the annual FanDuel debate will happen. Or how long until Aunt Julie talks about her psoriasis. And if Grandpa's in a food coma or a real coma, everything lives better.